Hello and welcome to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am your amateur catechist, Richard Reed, but this is a production of Amateur Anglican. It is, August the 25th, Tuesday of 2020. That great and terrible year. Got my coffee. It's a blonde roast this time. My wife specifically wanted a blonde roast. It's a nice light roast, which of course means it has plenty of caffeine, which is good because I need the caffeine this morning. Been walking more because the great COVID had originally driven up my weight, which didn't need to be driven up anymore. And there's just certain numbers that you hit on that scale that you reel back in horror. Okay, I guess I better do something now. So, then I'm 50, and, well, can't keep going like this. Anywhoosies, you didn't hear that. This is not Weight Watchers Anonymous or something. So, we are in the Catechism, page 30. Oh, let's give it a good prayer this morning. I had one picked. Almighty God, whom... So the title of the prayer, I've only got something I'm supposed to be doing. For growth in the knowledge of Christ, Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We are on page 38 of the Catechism. We're going to look at questions 49 and 50. At least that's the plan. I think I can do it. So last week we talked about who is Jesus. You know, who is this man, this God-man, Jesus Christ. These two questions are, what are wrapped up in these names? Names are never just names in the Old Testament. They always mean something. I myself am named after my own father. I'm a third. Now, being Richard the Third, Richard the Lionheart, is never a bad thing in most Anglo, if you're of English descent or quasi-descent like I am, it's never awful. But Jesus, what does Jesus mean? Jesus means God saves, and is taken from the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua. In Jesus, God has come to save us from the power of sin and death. God saves, Yeshua. So then, it seems appropriate that the first scriptural reference is from the book of Joshua. After the deaths of, Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. you are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Next is Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Next is from the Gospel of the Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. And then the final two verses, Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The word of the Lord. Let us then review the question and answer. What does Jesus mean? Jesus means God saves, and is taken from the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua. In Jesus, God has come to save us from the power of sin and death. Repeatedly on the Testament, it's I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. God will save you, I will save you, I will save you. Indeed, I will very much save you. And here is that incredible answer, the working out of the plan. God himself takes on human flesh in Jesus and joins himself forever to humanity. He became one of us, mere mortals. Somehow, the divine joined himself to human flesh to save us. Save his people Israel, and by extension us Gentiles, those unfortunately born. Jesus, God saves. So, a continuation of the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So here is Christ in the flesh. Here is Jesus. Christ. Here is Jesus in the flesh joined to us. He is saving us by becoming one of us. He takes up our humanity and lays it on himself, which gives an incredible dignity to humanity, and at the same time doesn't diminish his divinity by becoming one of us. So here's Chrysostom, of course, a little Chrysostom. His homilies on Matthew, it takes him to homily number, I think this is four, homily four, to get to the second half of the first chapter of Matthew. So, let's pick it up. Where did I want to pick it up? So he's talking about, I'm picking up in the middle, he's talking about how the angel has come in this dream, in this vision, in a dream, to Joseph to guide him through this. Joseph being a righteous man, which again is sort of proof that it doesn't say he's a hypocrite. It says he's a righteous man. Therefore, he knows this isn't his child. He knows this is not possibly his child. And he's also not wanting to put her to public humiliation. And so here's the angel, of course, talking him through it. I'm going to pick up on his 12th point in this. Then, having obscurely signified the matter in hand, he mentioned not the evil suspicion, but in a manner more relevant and seemly, by telling the cause of the travail, he removed the hiss also, implying that the very thing which had made him afraid, and for which he would have cast her out, this very thing, I say, was a just cause. Why should he take her and retain her in his house? Thus more than entirely doing away with distress, for she is not only free, says he, from unlawful intercourse, but above all nature in her conception. Not only put away your fear, but even rejoice more exceedingly, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. A strange thing it was which he spoke of, surpassing man's reason, and above all the laws of nature. How then is he to believe, to whom such tidings are altogether new? By the things that are past, he says, by the revelations. And with this intent he laid open all things that were in his mind, what he felt, what he feared, what he resolved to do, that by these he might assure himself of this point. Or rather, not by things past only, but likewise by things to come, he wins him over. And she shall bring forth, says he, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For do not thou, because he is of the Holy Ghost, imagine that you are an alien to the ministry of this dispensation. Although in the birth you have no part, but the virgin abode untouched, nevertheless, what pertains to a father, not injuring the honor of virginity, that do I give you, to set a name on that which is born, for you shall call him. For though the offspring be not yours, yet shall you exhibit a father's care towards him. Wherefore I do straightway, even from the giving of the name, connect you with him that is born. Then, lest on this other hand any should suspect him to be the father, hear what follows. With what exact care he states, she shall bring forth, he says, a son. He does not say, bring forth to you, but merely, she shall bring forth, putting it indefinitely, since not to him did she bring forth, but to the whole world. So, it's necessary that the Savior be born of a woman to be born of flesh, to be free from sin from birth, by not having human father, by having God as his father. And that's the first half of that, of the moniker that we give Jesus, who is the Christ, Jesus. And I like to think of it as Jesus is, you know, sort of human half, and Christ is that the divine half. Jesus, in Jesus is wrapped up all that is the humanity, born of the flesh, born into this lineage, you know, that beautiful name, all the names listed previously here in Matthew, all those various characters, you know, names that would seem strange in a lineage. Let's see, Tamar, and Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. I mean, you just, you know, it's very sort of raw and human, and what would be the word now? Problematic. Yet he is born without sin. He's born of the flesh, and he must, but there's someone must be the righteous man. The law requires that a righteous man fulfill all of it. So here's Jesus. God saves. He is born of human flesh to save us. We call him Emmanuel, God with us. So then let's switch then to question 50. What does Christ mean? Christos is the Greek term for the Hebrew title Messiah, meaning anointed one. Old Testament kings, priests, and prophets were anointed with oil. Jesus the Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit to perfectly fulfill these roles, and he rules now as prophet, priest, and king over his church and all creation. Wow. All right, so let's get into those verses. The first is from Exodus 40, 12 to 16. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. Clothe Aaron with the holy garments, anoint him and consecrate him, so that he can serve me as priest. Have his sons come forward and clothe them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so that they may always serve me as priests. Their anointing will serve to inaugurate a permanent priesthood for them throughout their generations. Moses did everything just as the Lord had commanded him. The next is 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 13. Samuel asked him, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," he answered, "but right now he's tending the sheep." Samuel told Jesse, "Send for him. We won't sit down to eat until he gets here." So Jesse sent for him. He had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. Then the Lord said, "Anoint him, for he is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. Then Samuel set out and went to Ramah. The next is from 1 Kings 19, 15 to 16. This is Elijah. Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." The next is Psalm 89, 19 to 29. "Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, 'I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall he horn, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea, and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. The next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Then to chapter 4 of the same book, 14 to 21. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." The next is a single verse from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. And now a rather lengthy chunk from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, 14 through verses 5, 10. "And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. Because of this, he must make an offering for his own sins as well as for the people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Jesus did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but God, who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. After he was perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and he was declared by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Now, Jesus is the anointed one, Christos, anointed one. In the passage from Psalms, in the book of Psalm, you know, it's quite a bit of hyperbole, which, you know, it was pretty traditional to ancient literature, this hyperbole. You may the king live forever and ever and ever and ever, and may all the blessings of the earth, blah, blah. My steadfast love will keep him forever. So going back to Psalm 89, I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm forever. Will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. Now, then we look at this baptismal scene. Now, our canon theologian likes to say, or likes to talk about how this is the longest flight of a dove ever. Noah set the dove out, and it alighted, and finally, you know, it goes out finally the third time and never comes back. Well, here's the dove finally finishing its flight. It's lined, found the perfect and cleanest place to land on Jesus. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Now, David was anointed with oil, as you read. Elijah anointed two kings and a successor. And then here, God himself, and the Holy Spirit, descends upon Jesus, thereby anointing him with the Holy Spirit. So a real anointing of incredible power, an incredible mark, so much more powerful than, say, an anointing with oil, man-made oil, but the perfect anointing of the Holy Spirit. He is therefore the Christ, the anointed one, anointed in a way that no man can be anointed. This is not the choice of men, but the choice of God. Now, the prophet, priest, and king, I'm actually going to do that in the next podcast, but I really wanted to get these two questions tied together, because we worship Christ Jesus. We worship this, you know, he is the God-man. I think there is something in that name, Jesus Christ, that's incredibly powerful. It speaks to two different things. Jesus, God saves, and then the anointed. So here is the humanity wrapped in the divinity and the divinity revealed in humanity. And it's a lot of scripture. Honestly, the scripture for the question 50 is extensive. However, for the next podcast, I will dive into the prophet, priest, and king portion of this. I think you'll agree that it probably requires a whole podcast. Honestly, both of these could do with a whole entire podcast. It's really hard sometimes trying to decide how far you want to go with one of these, but there are lots of other questions to get on to. But I think it's important to go over the prophet, priest, and king portion next week. Or maybe later this week. Depends on the time. Anyhow, I want to thank you for listening. Please, if you listen on iTunes, rate and review me. I could really use some reviews. I have no reviews. I have some ratings, so thank you to those who have rated me on iTunes. You can find me on a lot of other podcast outlets. And we need to close with a prayer. I am trying to keep these under 30 minutes, mostly because that really fits well with the time frame that I have to do the recording. But also, I just think it's sort of respectful of your time. I figure 30 minutes is a little easier to grab than an hour of your time. I realize you can pause. Anyway, it's a pleasure talking to you. Please, please encourage the catechism. We live in a time that is, I suppose all times are bad, but this one seems especially bad. And what the culture is trying to teach us is incredibly antithetical to the gospel. Not just a distortion of it, but antithetical, completely opposed. And it will take great strength and great teaching to teach the young believers and to raise them up to be faithful followers. May we so also. So, a prayer for rebirth and renewal in Christ. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit, through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you in the same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.